All right, welcome back to ADHD Talk with the Boys, episode 2. Today we got Luke with us again. I got my father. We're going to have some good times. We have some nice cold beers and just shoot the shit. Let's see, it's 2021 and we are fighting over Mr. Potato Head and now Dr. Seuss. Where do we begin? What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are we're in disbelief. With all the things we need to worry about in the world, why now after all these years?
Good question. What do you stand with that, Luke?
I would agree. I think we need to maybe focus on the bigger picture there. It seems like a lot of this cancel culture, it's, as we've now heard, and it's picked up a lot since last summer with the events in Minnesota, I would say.
Absolutely. I mean, 2020 was just a year. We talked about it in the last episode, but it just seems like everybody thought it was going to change, and now here we are, still offended. Can't tell jokes. I don't know. I was brought up with my friends that we would roast each other, and at the end of the day, guess what? We're still friends. So, times have changed. I bet, you know, this is all new to you growing up, seeing this, because...
I think there's a certain amount of laughter you have to have in your life and stuff. It's a release, and it seems irregardless of what you do, somebody's offended by it, even though it's all in fun and not really taking that seriously and stuff, but these are times that I've never seen. I mean... If I was a sports team or something and somebody named it after me, I would be cool with that. I wouldn't take offense to it. I think that would be kind of an honor that something was named after me. But after all these years, why is everything such a problem now? I think because there's movement in it. People get things done that were so gung-ho to go ahead and change it versus years ago. They just kind of blow it off, and I think a lot of it come about. The first episode that I really remember being an issue was McDonald's. It was coffee. Somebody come through and actually burnt themselves, and McDonald's has all the warnings on the coffee that it's hot. Anybody that drinks coffee knows that the product's hot.
Yeah, hot
if
coffee.
It would have been cold, they would have had a problem with it too, but that first suit went through. And they got compensated for it.
Absolutely.
And I think there's people out there that are looking for compensation on things like that. And companies are so quick to bow down and quiet people down and compensate them. So therefore you see more and more of these things because they get pushed through the system.
Absolutely. I mean, not to mention that lady made bank and doesn't have to work another day in her life. But, you know, you can see a lot of people trying to work the system and they end up getting that nice lawsuit and they're set for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
So, but no, crazy times have probably changed for you. I mean, growing up, you know, your background, Sunbury, Ohio.
Right.
Country boy, the Bogs, hardworking. Mm-hmm. You know, your father and mother were brought you up right. Even though you had some nice cars and liked to spin them around and whatnot, but... Hey now, hard work pays off.
Yeah, and it's totally different. I mean, I remember growing up, I mean, I'm going to date myself on all this, and I don't know where we want this conversation to go, but, you know, Sunday was a day of rest. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the town that I grew up, everything was closed, and you knew if you didn't get it done on Saturday, it wasn't going to happen on Sunday. Sunday was for going to church, worshiping, if you were a believer and stuff, and all the... you know, business and stuff were closed then, but now everything's open, you know, 7 days a week around the clock, and it's a totally different environment. And of course, the technology changed from when I grew up to now is insane with social media and I mean, there wasn't cell phones or or pagers or things like that, so the technology from that time frame's really changed to no end.
All right, and not to mention the only thing closed on Sundays now is God's Chicken Chick-fil-A, so...
Yes, Chick-fil-A still holds to that, so they do enough business Monday through Saturday that they're good.
Yeah, so, lovely Chick-fil-A. You can't never go wrong with them.
I do remember when the Atlanta Falcons struck a deal with Chick-fil-A a couple years ago in the new stadium.
Yeah.
That was a big to-do that one Sunday, a Sunday game out of the year, they agreed to break tradition and actually serve the game. And people got bent out of shape about it.
Did they?
And then, you know, somebody had pointed out, you know, that people were upset just because of their reasons for not usually doing it on Sunday. They said, God forbid the CEO wants to give his employees a day off guaranteed every week.
Yeah. Yeah. And I tell you another thing that you see also on that same line. I mean, I enjoy Mexican as well as anybody else.
Mm-hmm. But
other than Taco Bell on Sunday, most Mexican restaurants are closed too. So that's another thing. If you want to get your Mexican on, get it on before Sunday. And I'm okay with that. It is a day off for the employees. And I can survive.
Yeah.
You know, being in the utility business, we don't have any choice. We have somebody that works every day of the week that's on call every hour of the day. And you have to do that in order to keep the lights on, the water running, and everything else. So I'm okay with that. You just can't shut it off on Friday and come back Monday, and it's not that type of business. But these other businesses, they can do okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So what are your thoughts on the vaccine now? Are you going to get it?
I'm scheduled as we speak.
Okay.
I'm scheduled for Monday at 10 to 1 at the Schottenstein Center, okay, for the first dosage of it. So in my case, I think it's a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I got mixed feelings on the whole thing. This whole thing affects people differently. Some are asymptomatic. Others are on their deathbed with it. So I guess I'd rather be safe than sorry with it for myself. And I think in my case, I would rather do it than find out that I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So I'm going to go forward with it. I'll get the first vaccination on Monday, and then I believe the way it works is about 30 days afterwards, you get the second dosage, unless you get the Johnson & Johnson one, which is a one-shot deal.
Right.
So I'm not sure what's available. I don't believe it'll be the Johnson & Johnson one. It'll be a two-dosage deal is what I'm banking on. I know I told my employer today at work, and they were pretty cool about it. They were very interested in how it come about, what was going to take place, and I'd actually scheduled a half-day vacation. And my boss said, hey, we talked with the manager, go get your shot, we'll pay you for doing it. You don't have to take your own time to do it. I said, that's great.
Definitely helps.
And how did you find out about it? So I said, yeah, my sister-in-law got it, the shot, through OSU and at the shot. And she gave us a number to call and schedule. So that's how we found out. And I said, I'll keep you posted on how things go for me on Monday. So that's the avenue I'm going.
Okay.
But I think it's a personal preference, and but that's what I've decided to do.
Now, say, if you get the shot and later on you grow a third arm, do I have permission to shoot you?
You don't.
Oh,
but I'll say that at that point I was wrong about what I did. I don't believe I have that thought's never entered my mind about something like that occurring. And at this point, I'd say I have no worries, at least in that happening. I have heard people that have got the shot already, and they've gotten by fine. Very few side effects with it. I mean, gee whiz, your grandparents at their age, 95 and 90, have gotten both dosages and been fine. I'm thinking if somebody as frail and old as they are, if it didn't have any effect on them, then surely not on me.
Right.
So,
yeah, and then with them, you know, luckily grandma hasn't gone more batshit crazy. I mean, she already is, but thank God it's working for them, because I've heard the stories at the hospital where that second shot has just made them feel miserable. And, you know, it's, I don't know, I'm not ready to try to get it yet or go from there?
Well, the thing that's very unusual about this vaccination, normally when you get vaccinated, they're actually giving you part of the, you know, the element itself or the bacteria or the disease. China flu. In this case, they say you're not actually getting the COVID-19, okay? It's, so that's what's different about this. But usually to build up the antibiotics, you're actually exposed to what you're getting vaccinated for. The body builds up the antibiotics and you're done. I have a lot of feelings about it because there's different strands of this. So I know with like the flu, you know, I've gotten a flu shot in the past. That doesn't mean you're not going to get the flu. It depends on what strand's out there.
Right.
So I don't believe it's guaranteed, and I think we're learning as we go on this. I think we'll have a better feel by this time next year on how effective this is or isn't. But if there's different strands of it, this might be a new way of life of getting vaccinated on a regular basis, depending on what strand's out there.
Yeah.
Now, I don't normally get the flu shot, but the last time I was in for a physical, the doctor had asked me if I had got my flu shot yet. And I said, well, Doc, you know, I normally don't get those. She goes, well, let me tell you something. She goes, you know, people die from that. And I said, hey, which arm do you want here today? And that's what I did with it.
Nice.
So.
Yeah, it's, I don't, we could go on about COVID and all that. But my thoughts are, whatever we got to do to get back to normal, that'd be amazing.
If there is a normal.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
This might be the new normal.
Right.
Okay, we've never, ever seen anything like this that's crippled the United States,
mm-mm,
you know, in my lifetime. And so I never would have ever dreamt anything as paralyzing as what's occurred here in the last year or so that would bring this country down. If nothing else, there was always fear of a nuclear war or something like that breaking out, somebody hitting a button and we all get wiped out. But never thought that a bug or flu or whatever could affect so many people and be so crippling health-wise and economically damaging like it has been.
All right, absolutely. Luke, what we got going on? How was your week and everything, man? Tell us.
Pretty uneventful there. I think, let's see, didn't have anybody too crazy at work this week for a change there.
And when you say crazy, what would be craziness in your line of work?
Well, we usually, the way where our shop's located, it's smack between West Broad and then, you know, the wealthier part of Hilliard. So it's
I know where you guys are at out there.
Yep. So I did have a woman yesterday pull in who was, I believe, Russian, which we see fairly often.
Yeah.
And like fairly often, most of their cars are salvage titles. And this woman pulled in with one of her rotors clearly seized up on her rear end. And upon telling her the diagnostic fee to take a look at it, she was perplexed, and she said in her thick accent, "Well, I thought since you were Ford, you'd look at for free." Well, they say, "Well, unfortunately not, but yeah, that's if you do end up deciding to proceed, this is where we're at. So drive carefully."
So the wheel was not rotating, or the caliper was locked up?
Yeah,
or
her caliper was seized up.
It was locked on the rotor, and was the tire actually skidding or just hardly turning? Or
it
what?
Slowed, yeah.
Okay, so it was putting a drag on it.
Yeah, but her...
So it had to be pulling like crazy when she was going down the road.
Yeah, it was a rear, so luckily
right.
It wasn't
yeah.
pulling her, you know.
But she had a heck of a drag on the car.
Her mileage is probably cut in half.
Right.
Her whole wheel is just...
Yeah.
Dust. Mm. The rotor was shot. Yeah.
Mm. Shout out to Mother Russia.
And that happens. I mean, calibers freeze and stuff. I had it happen on a fairly new car I had one time, but it was under warranty. But boy, it was on the front. It was a Isuzu or a Chevrolet Spectrum, just a throwaway car. And I had to put a new caliber on it.
Mm.
And it was a newer car. It just probably a bad one from the factory.
Yeah.
Hadn't been wrecked, anything like that. It just happened.
Classic junk.
Yeah, it's amazing the way Ford's been making a lot of their decisions with the EcoBoost engines in particular, and a lot of the Focuses you've probably heard have been having clutch issues. They're just chronic. We've had a couple people come in, their car is not even out of the 60,000 mile powertrain warranty period, and they're on the third clutch that we put in it.
That's terrible. I mean, you guys are taking a beating on those repairs. I mean, you know, to put lesser standard clutches or trouble, I mean, that's coming back to haunt them severely.
It is.
You know?
Yeah, the number of the escapes and the EcoBoosts have issues with coolant intrusion in the cylinders. So people come in and say, you know, I have got white smoke coming out of my exhaust.
Burning antifreeze.
Yep, going right into the engine. Sorry, needs a block.
Oh, my God, that's crazy. I can't imagine the cost of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a number of those, $3,000-$4,000 easy.
So do they offer, when these clutches that are less than standard go, or these blocks, is replacement something that they've built better on or learned from, or eliminates the problem because the clutch is better or the block's better, or are they putting the same type of clutch and block back in it?
Well, the clutches, as far as those go, I believe they have. They still are using the same dry, it's called a dry clutch. Usually they're termed wet. For the mechanics in them, but for as far as like the short blocks and the engines, those are those they've supposedly upgraded.
Okay, so they have
But the clutches they have, I think, instead of upgrading, they've just a lot of them they've extended the coverage on that component alone to kind of make up for it. We're not going to fix it, but we're going to allow you a grace period for when it gives out.
And that's the thing. I mean, you know, when you were brought up, you know, you guys had those great cars, and not to mention you had a nice Chevelle. Like, back then they built those muscle cars, and that's one thing I'm jealous of. You know, I didn't really experience that, but you know, they built those to make them last. And
yeah, General Motors, you know, they seem to rule the roost back in the day, and I tell you why. They in my opinion, everybody's got their feelings about it. They offered a good product, the styling and the varieties. Right. And with General Motors, you had not only Chevrolet, which is probably more dominant, but you had Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac. I mean, they were king sting there. But what happened with them in the 70s, right when we all went unleaded gas, and there was supposedly this gas shortage, General Motors got cheap. They started putting out crappy stuff. Well, guess who come on the market?
Who's that?
Japanese.
Yeah. Honda.
Honda come on, and they're building cars.
Right.
And now, suddenly, General Motors getting their butt kicked because they got a competitor they've never had before. So it forced them to start changing their game and making them better. Plus, these places were giving warranty out of the yin-yang.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Hyundai and Kia today, 10-year, 100,000 miles.
Yeah.
When you put that kind of commitment on a car, you're saying something.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Right, yeah. Because to live with that car that long, because most warranties back then were 3 years, 36,000 miles, you know. And for Kia and Hyundai to come in, that's a statement, especially bumper to bumper.
All right.
Because dealerships have always been known for selling vehicles. They don't want them coming back and working on them.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, the service after the sale is hard to get a lot of times.
Oh, yeah.
But the last car that I bought was from Reichard Ford. It was Jill's Kia. And they said on new cars, they said, we don't make any money on those because everybody knows the price on them. He said, where we get our money is having you coming back for repairs. We want you coming back for oil changes, tires. When I say repairs, maintenance is what I should say. Not that it's breaking and coming back. But where we make our money is on oil changes and tires. We want you coming back for your pro maintenance stuff.
All right. That's how they get you.
They I asked them when I was down there, I said, how many cars you guys got on the lot between new and used? They said 6,500 cars.
Jesus.
They're a well-oiled machine over there.
At that time, they were selling. I said, between new and used, how many are you selling a month? They said about 800 a month.
Wow.
And right. About 500 and some employees, because I got employees I never see until Christmas parties.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like Chase over there.
Yeah, Chase is what, 15,000 people or better?
Something crazy.
Crazy. Yeah. You know, they're all working at home now due to COVID. But so, yeah, anyways, going back to the 70s, Ford, General Motors, and all of them started making better products. I have no problem with Ford, today's Ford. I think their trucks, I like their trucks. I tell you another thing I love about Ford is I like the Mustang that they come back out with. I think they made a good effort on that. And I've always been General Motors. I always was a 69 Camaro fan, but Ford really did good on the Mustang as long as they don't go too far with it now.
Yeah.
They're getting away from that original look on it and stuff, but they got a great sound to them. And those GTs and the Mach 1s and the Shelbys and the Cobras are just, I would have no problem in owning one.
Sure. I think my service manager was actually saying, I think one of the reasons, and we usually don't see many issues with any of the Mustangs, especially the performance ones,
mm-hmm.
is they're actually built with their own, basically, their own island of a team.
Oh, really?
Ford that basically gets their own funding and their own dedicated group that works on them. And that's what sets them apart from the rest of Ford.
I think they've did a good effort on that, and they're plentiful and a lot of good sales. So I'd say between their trucks and the Mustang, it's been a gold mine for them.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, not to mention, we'll go back to the 70s, you know, great music, fast cars.
Oh, you want to go back to 70s?
Let's go to the 70s. Sure. Tell us about it, man.
The 70s?
Because 20s, man, they're sucking
well, now
right
keep
now.
In mind, would you be able to live without social media? And
shit.
TikTok and Facebook?
Well, you already know with me, the social media
now,
king.
Okay,
so.
Keep in mind, there was nothing like that.
No, a lot of
there
playing.
There was no cell phone. So what would you do with all this time on your hands?
Shit, get into dirt bikes like now, but
okay,
raise hell and praise Dale.
Bikes were there, but
mm-hmm.
there was no cell phones, no Facebook, no
mm-hmm.
XM radio. Actually, probably there was just AM at the time before FM had come online.
Jesus.
Wow.
So everything was closed on site. No Amazon. None of the shopping stuff you guys are doing today.
No internet.
Cars were carbureted, not fuel injected. You couldn't jump in a car and do a cold start and take off like you do today with that electronic fuel injection.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So, automobiles were not as reliable. They were always breaking because they had points and condensers in them.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have electronic ignitions. They were carbureted. They didn't run as efficient, but you like the smell of the car.
Oh, yeah.
Kyler loves
burn
the smell of a
gas.
Car that's got raw gas coming out of it.
Absolutely. It
okay.
smells amazing.
Today's car, it wouldn't meet emissions with that.
Yeah.
So there was no catalytic converters.
Right.
It was regular gas. There wasn't unleaded gas. And, yeah, there even the go gas was about 29 cents a gallon.
Jesus.
Is what I recall. The cars weren't really worried about being efficient with it.
Yeah. Now look at gas prices.
But I could, the Chevelle that I had, I could throw $5 into it, and it would put about half a tank in it. Now, it would burn through it pretty quick, you know, if you had your foot in it. It had a 396 big block in it, 350 horse.
There you go.
Quadrajet, and if you're, you know, if you're horse playing with it, it's going to suck some gas, but it wasn't too painful to fill it up.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, right now when I come home, gas was $2.75 a gallon, so $5 would get you about 2 gallons. That wouldn't
thanks, Biden. Oh.
That wouldn't even wet the whistle on a muscle car. But
sure,
you say today there's not muscle cars. Yeah, they are. They're a whole different kind of car.
Oh yeah, I mean like the Lamborghinis, Porsche and shit. But
let me tell you about today's car. Not only does it have more horsepower,
mm-hmm.
it's more economical and efficient.
Aerodynamics.
Yeah, and the technology is crazy. So those were fun times.
Yeah.
But when you look at horsepower, the Mustangs, I seen a Camaro they're coming out with. It's a Yanko Camaro, which is a known car that was back in the 60s and 70s. It was a aftermarket hopped up car. That thing's producing 1,000 horsepower. 1,000 horsepower. That's 3 times the horsepower I had in the Chevelle. And I thought I had a lot of power. I had more horsepower and brains with that car.
Oh, yeah.
I had that car at 16 years old, okay? And it was a looker. Mm-hmm. And today they bring money like you wouldn't believe.
Right. Not to mention what the pay down was, $1,500 for it.
Well, I paid, not the down payment, but the car itself sold about $1,800.
Jeez. Wow. I could get a crappy two-stroke for that.
Yeah.
Some of our new Explorers, for comparison nowadays, the shop are, I think, in the $60,000 range starting off.
Mm-hmm.
But now that's back in the mid-70s, so, you know, you would have to do a conversion. You can do this on the internet to see what kind of money that'd be in today's dollars.
Sure.
So, but yeah, at $1,800, I drove it for a few years and sold it for $1,500.
Mm.
So I had a lot of fun with it
and Absolutely. Got
rid of it. But for me to buy that today, I couldn't buy it. Well, I could, but it would be, I'd have my priorities in the wrong spot.
Yeah. Now, Luke's never heard the stories about your adventures with your car.
My car?
Yeah, give them
street racing and stuff.
Give them the street racing, yeah.
Well, sure, I mean, when you got cars like that, you're going to flex your muscles.
Absolutely.
And all the guys that I hung with, everybody had a car.
Sure.
And street racing, even though today I view it differently, I didn't realize how dangerous it was. If I had a do-over, I'd never do that. But we did it. We were young and dumb, and we had more horsepower, and we had brains, and we did a lot of street racing and stuff. So I was coming back from Westerville, and I think we'd been down for a July 4th event or something. A good buddy of mine was taunting me as we're coming back to Sunbury on the big hill there in Galena, where Blackhawk Golf Course was. And he come out around me, and I'm like, dude, it's on. And we were just flying well over 100 miles an hour and come up on Galena Police setting there. And he tried, it was after dark, he tried to pull us both over. And he would edge up on me and I wouldn't pull over. And he would drop back on my buddy trying to get him to go over. And we kept doing this cat and mouse thing, but nobody was pulling over. Well, finally, my buddy caved in and pulled over. And at that point, I just nailed it. And I ran that car all the way home, and there was lights and cars coming at me because he had already radioed ahead.
Oh, boy.
And they're just flying at me. But they didn't know who I was. They were just going right where he was.
Sure.
I took the car home, put it in the garage, got out one of my parents' cars till the heat cooled off and come back by, and they were still writing my buddy up.
Jeez.
And he was cool about it. They asked him, he said, hey, who was that idiot? And they said, we hadn't seen him before.
Nice.
And he could have very easily ratted me out, but he didn't.
Wow.
So they would have thrown the book at me, fleeing an officer, reckless driving. It would have been insane, especially at 16 years old.
Sure. Now.
So, yeah, that was my episode of running from the cops.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Welcome to the Boggs family.
Yeah, really.
Outlaws. But that whole time, like, after you flee the scene, like, do you have that, like, sick stomach, like, feeling, or?
No, I'm like, okay, it's on, man. I'm committed now.
Mm-hmm.
I took all the back roads home, put it in the garage, got another car until it cooled off, never heard any more about
it. Now, did you ever tell your parents that story?
Not that one.
Mm. Mm.
You know, we were down in Columbus when I was a kid growing up. Cruising was the big thing. And most of these times are going on before guys got girlfriends. When girlfriends come along, it's a game changer. Mm-hmm. Suddenly you start losing your friends and your interests are somewhere else. But at that time, guys did cars. They talked about girls, they cruised chicks and things, but nobody really had anybody. We're a bunch of wannabes, okay? So we would cruise Morse Road, a place down there called Children's Palace in the patio. It's where everybody just hung out. At that time, a thing that was big down in that area, they had these arcades, pinball arcades. Foosball was huge at the time, if you guys know what foosball was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There wasn't the electronic scene yet or gaming you guys have. There were no games at home to play. But there's still pinball was huge, foosball and things like that. So we would cruise that area, hang out at those places. And play games, and that's what we did for fun. So one time, me and my buddy was drag racing once again on Morris Road, and the cops pulled us over. He didn't do anything. He just told us to get on back home. And I said, you know, Terry Thompson was his name. I said, Terry, this is really stupid because you and I can race all day long up in Sunbury, because Sunbury is really rural. You could go anywhere and race up there. Mm-hmm. And here we are down in Columbus acting up. I said, wait, let's get out of here. So just so happened, one of the guys that was riding with me, most guys had cars, some guys didn't. If they didn't have cars, they palled around with everybody else, which they hadn't made. They're getting all the benefit of the car, but they're not buying gas and got the responsibility. So I had a good buddy with mine. Just so happens, when we were pulled over on Cleveland Avenue down by Mike Jenkins' place.
Mm-hmm. R.I.P.
His mom comes up. And she pulls over and says, David, get out of that car. I don't want you hanging out with that bog skid. That's ridiculous. And he was one of the craziest drivers around. He'd drive his parents' cars like you wouldn't believe. He would actually scare you.
Mm.
Brake checking and driving like a kid. So, but I took the rap, and his mom thought I was a scumbag because I had her son. And, you know, so it was a bad scene.
Now, that was the guy that... You were in the car that one time, and he said brake check and slammed on it. You about went...
He does that. You know, jeez. If somebody got on his hind end, he goes brake check, and he'd lock him up. And if that car behind you wasn't paying attention, you're going to run right into him. Yeah.
Classic crazy Sunbury people, you know. But that's the thing, like, you know, growing up, you're in a town where everybody knew everybody, and... Were the cops more cool if you guys, or...
No, they weren't cool, because the first ticket I got was squealing the tires.
Where at?
Up on the square.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, we had the square there in Sunbury, and the cops were sitting back in between the building.
Yeah.
And I just kind of come around the corner and barked it a little bit.
Yeah. Hey, man.
That was my first ticket, squealing tires.
How much did you have to pay?
I think it was like $20 back then. Yeah.
Mm.
I didn't have to go to court or anything, but that was my first ticket in that car.
Jesus. Yeah.
And then there was another guy in Sunbury that had a car just like mine, so he was kind of a bad boy, and I don't know if the cops really thought maybe it was him, but either way, okay, there was a violation there, and I got stuck with it, so.
I mean, you were known for burnouts with your Chevelle. I mean, you did it at high school, too.
Mm-hmm.
Tell Luke about that story. Now, this is where...
Well, you know, when it's senior day and you guys have all been there, or the last week of school, you're feeling your oats, right? Because you're out and you're going on. What do you got to lose? So,
right.
Everybody's doing crazy things and stuff. So, you know, I'm got my car, you know, once again. And you could power brake that car to no end, meaning you could hold your foot on the brake. And then punch the gas and just hold it there and spin the back tires. Because it had disc brakes on the front, drums in the back, and they didn't really grab much. So you almost had what they had in my day called a line lock. Mm. And when you got a line lock on the car, you can lock the front wheels, and the back wheels spin free. So you put the line lock on and just smoke them. And so I'm just sitting there, and I got a pretty good, like a NASCAR smoke going. And I look up in the rearview mirror, and the principal's looking right at me.
Shit.
So I just let off the gas, you know. And then he calls me in and goes, you know what? If you ever do something that stupid again, you're going to get F's on all your finals.
Jesus.
And I said, yeah, you ain't got to worry about me, because I don't want to come back to this place after 12 years. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really.
And I don't want F's on my finals, because I may need some of those grades, because you had to have, at that time, I assume it's the same today. You had to have 21 credits to graduate from high school. And I was done with school. I was good to go. So, yeah, that didn't happen again.
Jeez.
That's my grandpa back in the, man, probably 50s, 60s, he used to know a guy who used to play for kick for Ohio State named Tad Weeb.
Mm-hmm.
Small little undersized guy. And he'd tell all these stories about the guy just raising hell around Columbus. He had a slingshot, which I guess he was deadly with. He'd go around and he'd bust out all the street lights on his road. The city'd come and fix him up. And he was so, I guess, so young and innocent looking, no one ever suspected
it was him, right?
He'd bust him out again. And then he had a Willie's Jeep.
Oh, yeah.
A surplus from the Korean War.
Oh, yeah, those are gold mines.
Well, he had a string that he'd run to his license plate, and if a cop got behind him, he'd pull it and drop his license plate.
Oh, shit.
He would, if he did have one on, because it was a Jeep, he'd just drive over someone's yard and get away.
Oh, that's great.
And I think he said one time, my grandpa said, that they caught him taking the Jeep out on the high school track. And then donuts around the track.
Yeah.
We, you know, I can definitely tell I have my dad's side, because when I got my first car, my lovely Honda Accord, it was as old as me. I thought I was super sweet. I didn't realize the teacher ahead of me, who I had my senior year, I decided to... put it in neutral and rev it up, you know, that lovely Honda Accord. And then she gets out and looks at me and says, seriously? And I was like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to deal with this Monday. So, but no, the funniest thing I seen was my buddy Jake Morris. He straight took his truck, and at Kilbourne, they have, they have the field in front of there where the band plays on there, and he just straight gunned it and started doing like a little donuts and stuff, and they were on his ass like nothing, man. Mm-hmm. You gotta have fun, man. Shoot.
Oh, yeah, well, some of the pranks, I had some real jokesters that I hung with, and I had one guy just love shooting the moon.
Shooting the moon?
Yeah, pulling his pants down, putting his ass
Jesus
up on the window.
Christ.
Right.
I've never heard that.
Lost. Really? Shooting the moon?
No.
You've never heard shooting the
moon? No, dude. I would just
Google
go
it.
By and flash my ass.
Oh, yeah. You'd be driving down the road, and he'd pull his pants down and stick his ass right on the
window. You remember Joe Buck calling Randy Moss moon, pretending to moon the Packers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Classic.
That's what he termed it.
Right.
So his name was Fred Grove, and he'd do that all the time. Another thing that he would do with you... And cars are different today. But you'd be sitting in a red light, and he would reach over, turn the ignition off, and throw your keys on the floorboard.
Did he do that to you?
Yeah.
Or you're like, I'm about to kill this son of a
bitch. Yeah,
I'm going to
kill you. So here you are in the intersection. He turned the
car
off.
Oh, shit.
Threw the keys down on the floorboard and just laughing his butt. So you're scrambling to get the keys, first of all. Cars are honking, carrying them. Get them back in ignition. Start it up and get going.
I'll have to try that with the wife.
You had to watch him. He just loved doing stuff like that and laughing his butt off about it.
Now, for how crazy he was, he definitely had to get in trouble at school. Definitely the paddle, because they used to whip your ass with that shit.
He wasn't too bad in school like that. I mean, outside of school he
was,
but he was an athlete.
Mm.
He ran track and cross country. And so he had to keep a certain amount of behavior going to be eligible for sports.
Right.
Because when I was in high school to play sports, you had to carry eligibility cards.
Jesus.
Around every week. And if your grades weren't where they should be, then you didn't play.
Right.
So if he was getting in trouble, he's going to get it from the coaches, and he's not going to play a sport. So he didn't act up too much in school that I recall, but outside of school, you had to watch him a little bit.
Yeah. Speaking of sports with you and Big Wana, you know, back then, they didn't fuck around, man. They would hit you and all that shit. I know you got a story about gym class one day about scared you guys shit straight.
Oh, well, see, back then, you could actually lay your hands on somebody.
Mm.
And when I grew